Hi, we're Just Muslim Things, and today, Samara, Rina, Samia, and guest Uzma will be discussing Islamophobia. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are going to be talking about Islamophobia, and we're back with Uzma.
Hi.
Okay, have any of you guys encountered cases of Islamophobia?
Yes.
Do you want to share?
Sure. So in school, like maybe 2 years ago, I overheard somebody talking about, it was like a joke about Muslims bombing people and stuff like that. And the same guy also, whenever, like one time a teacher dropped something, he said, Allahu Akbar. And so I told my mom, and my mom told the people at the head of the school, and we ended up talking to each other, and I explained to him how that was like offensive, and yeah, so
good for you for like standing up, because like
that's
real good. Yeah. How you did that.
Did you wish like somebody else around him would have like pointed it out, maybe?
I wish people would like stand up for us more, but I mean, we're here to teach people that we're not violent, like, and stuff like that. So
was there any other cases you encountered?
I mean, comments here and there, but nothing that big, you know?
Yeah. I have, like, a smaller case. So this was back when Donald Trump first proposed, like, the travel ban. And we all, like, how it was targeted, like, Muslim-populated countries. So I remember this very vividly, because I was like, oh, my God, did that just happen? So we had to, like, run laps in gym, in, like, the gym, and so I was running behind these two guys, and then one of them was Muslim and the other one was not, and then the non-Muslim was like, hey, do you see the list of countries that Trump banned? And then the Muslim kid was like, yeah, I just don't get why he didn't ban countries like Pakistan and like other ones instead of like Saudi, because that's not where, because like Pakistan and those other countries, that's where the terrorists come. And in my mind, I was like, are you kidding me? I did not just hear that. And then I was like, the whole time, like the rest of the time that we were running, I was just thinking, like, I cannot believe he said that.
Dude, yeah, that's like terrible, especially considering, like, you know, he was also Muslim, like you said. And it's just like, I think the cultural differences between like Muslim, like Islamic countries, they cause a lot of tension between us. And it really shouldn't be that way, because we really should be more unified, in my opinion.
Do any of you think that sometimes people confuse Islamophobia comments with ignorance, and is there a difference?
Okay, so like this might be, so when you say ignorance, you know, there are some comments that people make out of like pure confusion, right? But some of them, they can get like, they can be, in my opinion, a little bit annoying, especially like since we're not Google, right? And yeah, we're Muslim, yeah, we want to help other people be more educated about our religion, but it's not necessarily our job. And, you know, like, when I'm fasting, like, recently in the past years, I've had to fast during school, people will be like, oh my gosh, like, are you okay? Like, you can't even drink water? Like, what the heck? And it's like, those kind of comments, like, yes, I get you're surprised, but sometimes it makes me feel like you think what we're doing is too extreme, or like maybe you're judging us a little bit, but it's like, we are okay. And like, I have to tell them, yeah, like, it's all good, it's fine, like, there's scientific like studies that show like fasting is good for us, etc, etc, right? And I know that's not necessarily Islamophobia, but I really think people need to word things better, or like use a better tone when they approach us about questions they have about our religion.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. A lot of people think that acting suspicious leads to people questioning your religion. How would you explain to them that unfortunately it is not the case with most Muslims?
I would say, like, when you say acting suspicious, like, it could really be anything. Like, someone could call you just walking down the street suspicious, like with your head down because like you're cold or something, especially in winter, like I'm freezing, so I'm like all huddled up. Someone could look at that. If I was wearing hijab, that would be looked at that could be looked at as suspicious. So I feel like maybe if you just think before you like say anything, like, is there really a reason for me to accuse this person of doing anything bad? Or is it maybe just because they're cold? Or is it maybe just because they're in a hurry or something?
When you like brought this question out, it made me think of like, you know, and you know, TSA, we already know how a lot of Muslim people, like, just because, you know, they're wearing a hijab, they get profiled and they get like taken to the side. And there have been cases where like a woman is minding her business on the airplane, but somebody, like, there was a case a few years ago, somebody called up like the flight attendant because they were like, oh my gosh, like they have an open can of like soda next to me and that could be used as a weapon. And I was like, when I heard the story, I was like, what the actual heck, you know, like, it's ridiculous the thing like people suspect of us just because of the things that like they hear about us in the media, or like they're so uneducated or they're ignorant. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, always hearing like the stories of like hijabis who get like pulled aside and like patted down, or like people who like face like severe discrimination and stuff, I always feel so bad. But then like at the same time I think like, alhamdulillah, that isn't me. But I just feel so bad because number one, it's kind of embarrassing. Actually, no, it's totally embarrassing in front of a bunch of strangers to be like told, hey, can you come in this room, and everyone's staring at you. And then also it just puts you in a position where like, this has never happened to me, I don't know what to do. So it's like, it's not fun, and I wouldn't ever want to experience that. And I feel really bad when I hear about all the stories. Next question. As a minority in the United States, do you think that you have more responsibility to represent your culture and religion appropriately?
Yeah, I feel that, because you don't see as many Muslims as you do other people, I guess. And you, like, one bad experience with a Muslim could set their whole view on Muslims, like, as a religion, I guess.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, you know, but it's also important to remember, like, we're not a monolith, and we are diverse. So, like, when we, like, try to represent ourselves, like, as Muslims, we also should remind people, like, hey, we're not, like, I am not like every other Muslim out there. There is going to be diversity, there are going to be cultural differences, like something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, whenever so I went to school with like Muslims, like a few, but we're all like, we all practice it differently. So it's always like, for me, if like one of us gets asked, I don't know how anyone else answers this, but if anyone asks me like, oh, is so-and-so more Muslim or you, or is you more Muslim than so-and-so, I just say we all practice it differently. You know, it's like something you have to, it's like a personal thing. So it's not my job to judge them or anything, but I always try not to, because I feel weird. I'm not like, in Canton, almost everyone I know is Muslim. So I don't have to like answer questions or anything. So it's so weird becoming the person that people come to you for answers. So it's like, how do I answer without like making Islam look bad? Because it's not. I think it's an amazing religion, and that's my opinion, obviously. Some people might think like all that stuff, but but like, it's like, how do I like approach it appropriately, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, you know, like, people don't really do that with like Christians, in my opinion. Like, you don't see it happening as often.
Yes, I totally know what you mean. Like, no one goes up to a Christian and asks them, what's the point of Christmas? I mean, we all know that, but at the same time, like...
Yeah, as, like, being a minority and, like, being Muslim, and especially in the U.S., when you walk down the street wearing your abaya and your hijab and all your loose clothes, sometimes you feel forced to wear it differently because everyone around you is wearing, like crop tops and like shorts and everything. So it might make you feel a little bad, but like, you have to stand out, make sure you're on top and feel proud of yourself, because in order to be to raise our religion, we have to be proud of ourselves, and then we can get better.
That was awesome. Yeah, I love that.
Really good.
What is a way that our generation can combat Islamophobia in the United States and other regions of the world?
I feel like maybe on Instagram and like Twitter, and if you just see anything online, I feel like you should comment and put your points of views online. So then you're like helping out your community, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You can always like spread the word or like correct people if they're wrong, so you don't set the wrong message about Muslims in general.
I really think, you know, if we need to, we could also like raise awareness for like change in government, especially, you know, I think we talked about this last episode, but in countries like France, we have to stand up for ourselves due to the Islamophobia that was like clearly present there, you know?
Yeah, and to show like we're not like stereotypes that people think about.
This is kind of like a bit off topic, but recently in one of my classes, my teacher had us do this project, and it was make your ideal political candidate. This was like right after the election, so he was like, let's do something political themed. And so this is in French class, so he like he copied and pasted a list of like a bunch of themes, and we had to pick like 10 from there or make up some of like things we wanted our president or our candidate to do. And I remember reading some of them, and some of the things on that list were like extremely Islamophobic, and I was like, is this like really, like one of them was like get rid of all, I don't remember everything, but it was like close all I remember this one, close all hateful mosques, and then it just said mosques, like not churches, not synagogues, just mosques. And I remember thinking like, and then also like something about Islam, like terrorism and extremists and stuff, and I was thinking, okay, yeah, that's all true, but what about like what about hateful churches, hateful like synagogues, all that right. stuff, like you can't just pinpoint it to Islam, it's so many other places. And also in the U.S. like very, I don't know the exact number, and I don't want to like spread false information, but majority of like domestic terrorism is like white males, not Muslim people.
I was gonna bring that up, like
but I ended up emailing my teacher, and then like before we all presented, he was like, hey, so guys, Samara told me about this, and I just want to say she is absolutely right. Like all the Islamophobic things, like I didn't mean to put it down, and I hope you all know that wasn't me talking. And he was like, he made it very clear, but he just wanted to say like the Islamophobic things, like that wasn't right, and French is like France is a very Islamophobic country, and that should not reflect the U.S. But
oh wow, that's really good that you emailed him. That's really
shows. I felt very proud of that.
And not for ourselves. Yeah,
that's how you should be.
Do we want to go to the next question?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Do you think that there is another group of people who face discrimination as much as Muslims in the United States?
I feel like back in the day, like thousands of years ago, it was definitely like woman versus man, and like women trying to stand up for themselves. And that's kind of like right now how Muslims are trying to stand up for themselves against like the stereotypical topics that people talk about us in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't know how to necessarily compare like oppression or like discrimination, you know, that's not something you can put a number to. I do know that obviously there are a lot of other marginalized groups as well, like that like go through like the same thing, that have to face prejudices, you know, like especially the African American community, a lot of them who are Muslim too, you know. Like they have had to go through like oppression due to the very history, like the nature of our country's history, right? And so yeah, there obviously are other people who face discrimination as like, I mean, I don't, as much as us, I guess. I don't really want to use those words because it kind of seems like we're comparing, when we really should just be like trying to help each other out instead of being like, oh, like I go through more, you go through more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that was really nicely said.
I feel like one group of people, like when COVID like first started in the US, at least. I don't know if it's the same in other countries, but a lot of like Asian people, it didn't matter if like you were just Chinese or not, but if, even if you like looked Chinese, like you got like people would like harass you in like stores and in public just because of like the whole thing with COVID came from China.
Yeah. I remember seeing news stories about people getting like brutally beaten just because they're Asian because of coronavirus, and it was really sad to see that stuff like that still goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sad. You would think that now, like, as for a country as like advanced as the US, like you would think that a lot of these problems are resolved, like we don't have systemic racism. Like, I really wish some of these things were resolved a long time ago, that way we don't have to deal with like all these problems. I mean, obviously we can't change the past, but like if people like do more in the present, it would make such a huge difference. They take so many things from other cultures and then Americanize it, and then you forget that they're other cultures.
Right, yeah. They colonize it.
Yeah, they colonize it. That's the word. And I feel like so many people's histories, like, and a bunch of cultures are lost that way. I saw this thing, is like is the US like a melting pot, or is it like a salad bowl? Like, that's kind of like a difference.
Oh, that makes sense. Good.
I feel like,
wow, I've never heard of that, but that's interesting.
I know, I just saw it. I was like looking for an image for class. But I feel like the US is like a melting pot in a way that it like takes something, it colonizes it, and then like that's,
it just throws it away.
Yeah. Whereas like
everything the same.
Yes.
Taking out all the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that, you know, like as soon as something like COVID came out, like a new reason to like, or a new justification to hate a group of people came out, like people passed on that opportunity. You know, like for Muslims, it was like 9/11, a lot of people, like that was a very tragic night. Right, but then it also had very tragic consequences of other people, as in like Muslims who were, you know, targeted more and more often just because like of that event, and even like Sikhs who, because people were ignorant just because they wear turbans, they were like,
oh, yeah, and they thought that Sikhs were Muslims. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's like really sad.
Mm-hmm. America said it's a melting pot, but like what kind of melting pot has like discrimination like that, you know, like there's so many people, why would you discriminate, you know?
Yeah, like it's so diverse, like the US. I feel like I'm being hateful towards a country where I'm from, but do you think that non-Muslims should get involved when a hijabi or Muslim brother is disrespected in a way regarding their religion? If so, how would they do this?
I think they should, in a way, like they shouldn't talk about Muslims' experiences because they're not Muslim themselves. But they should also stand up when they see somebody being racist, like, hey, don't say that, that's not nice, or like, that's homophobic to say.
I feel like for me, if say I was not Muslim and I saw like a Muslim being, like a hijabi being like teased and made fun of, like I would be nervous like standing up for that girl, because like I wouldn't want all the heat to come on me. So like it would make sense why someone's afraid to stand up for you, but it shouldn't be scary because you're defending another person. Like you're making them feel a bit more safe. Like that's, I feel like that's so much more rewarding than just sitting there watching it happen and then later thinking, oh, I wish I stood up for that person.
And especially if you were in that position before and someone actually helped you, you would want to be able to help that person too. So
like what I was gonna say about this question is like, I think that it goes like in general for like anything, like you would want to stand up for somebody that's being wronged, right? Like I as a Muslim, just because like somebody was getting discriminated for maybe being in another group, like there's still a lot of like anti-Semitism like in our country, right? Like that we don't really, it doesn't get as much media coverage as it should in my opinion, but like if people are making like anti-Semitic comments to like somebody, like I would want to stand up for them, you know? Like, so it's not about like whether like I'm being discriminated for, maybe I'm Muslim, maybe I'm brown, like, it doesn't matter what it is, like, I would want somebody to, like, stand up for me, and I think that people, they should, like, I really think they should, like, I know it's hard, but that's what the question is asking, and I think the answer is yes, like, they should get involved. But like you said, it doesn't necessarily, they shouldn't like speak on behalf of us, like of our experiences, but they should do the best they can and be like, those words are harmful.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a good, like just saying like, hey, can you stop? Your words are hurtful. It would really mean a lot if you could like stop saying them, or just like something along those lines. I feel like that would make the Muslim person feel so much better. And like, it's not a lot to say, and then it's not a lot to say, and it gives the other person's, like, it makes them feel a bit better. So I feel like if any non-Muslim listeners that we have, please keep this in mind. If you see any hijabis or young or not necessarily young, any Muslims of any age being discriminated against, please say something. It can be small, it doesn't matter, just say something.
And those small words could really encourage other people around them to do the same. So that would really help everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like in the end, no matter how hard we try, like if we're the only ones fighting for ourselves, we're not gonna get what we wanna get. But you know, like we do need allies from like other groups that aren't like necessarily Muslim.
Yeah.
And this way we can get the rights that other people have gone along the way.
Yeah. From your understanding, what is Islamophobia in the US versus other parts of the world? So I think that Islamophobia in the US is a lot, but also there's like other countries that have way more, like France. I already told you guys about the previous example. And also they had that whole burkini thing, like the on the
oh,
beaches.
Like, oh, the burkini ban?
Yeah, burkini ban.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And then I also saw this other thing of, like, in England where they had, like, a Hate a Muslim Day. I read that and I was like, what? But basically what happened.
What? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they had, like, different, like, goals, and you would, for each goal, it was, like, each goal was, like, disrespect. It was, like, committing, like, an act of Islamophobia. I'm not sure if that's how you would word it, but doing, like, something Islamophobic, and it was, like, pull a hijab off, say a hateful comment, something like that, and you would get rewards, and, like, at the end of the day, if you had the most reward,
that's,
I don't know what the
disgusting
prize is.
They're encouraging that?
Yeah, they so encouraged wrong. It. And
I
then
remember not wanting to go to school that day. Sorry, I'm joking.
It's okay. Yeah, I remember reading that, and I was in class. Hopefully, no one gets mad at me for being on my phone in class, but I remember reading it, and I was like, what? This is crazy. And then also in Spain, like, I don't remember if this is exactly in Spain or if it's some Spanish-influenced country. I'm pretty sure it's Spain. But they pretty much, like, erased a lot of, like, the Islamic influence, and they converted, like, mosques to churches. They wanted to, like, get rid of Muslims and stuff. So they went on, like, that whole, like, Islam wipe, kind of.
When was this? Like,
I remember my mom told me about it, and she was like, Spain's like, some of these churches were originally mosques and stuff. I don't want to say anything exact because I don't want to be spreading false information, but I'm pretty sure that is what happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I feel like,
yeah,
in the US, like, we had 9/11, obviously that impacted Muslims in like such a negative way. Like, that is when, like, Islamophobia, like, the root of it,
yeah,
like, it just got worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely after that, you could tell that there was Islamophobia growing.
And then also when, like, when he first ran, when, like, the whole travel ban thing, when he was, like, talking, like, saying Islamophobic things, like, people started committing, like, more Islamophobic acts, I guess. Is that how it
right.
is? Like, you could, like, I looked it up, and you could, like, see an increase. It was, like, kind of, like, not, like, the same thing as after 9/11, but, like, in both cases, there's an increase of, like, Islamophobia.
So what we're hearing is that it's, like, there's, like, a lot of it in a lot of places around the world, right? Yeah. And we have a long way to go, which is really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also in New Zealand, the Christchurch shooting, that was so sad. It was, like...
Yeah, but they did something positive from that. Right. They banned guns. Whereas in the U.S., that whole thing at in Las Vegas in the concert, and that was a white guy who did it. He killed a ton of people, and they haven't banned guns here yet.
Exactly. Some people are more smart and progressive than us in the U.S.
Right. Like, maybe in the U.S., it's a little bit more based on pure ignorance, right? Because there's a lot of people, especially I think in rural areas, they get their information from sources that are clearly biased, and they, like, you know, develop these views, especially if their parents, like, teach them, like, those things, you know, and then based on the fact that they really don't know enough about our religion, they feel that it's okay to attack us. Or, like, they feel threatened by us when they really shouldn't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How do you think Muslims should respond to Islamophobic comments made to them publicly, or what, and what about when it's a private conversation?
I really,
I feel like we kind of answered this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's in both cases, you should stand up.
Instagram posts and all that.
Yeah, that's the one we were talking about.
I will just say, though, like there's people that are put into that situation where they have to speak up on behalf of, like, all of us, you know? It's sad.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there's a certain look that draws more Islamophobic comments, women with the hijab or men with a kufi?
Yeah, sadly, I think so. Like, women with hijabs, since they're, like, outwardly showing their religion, more Islamophobes could probably, like, attack them for it, you know?
And also, like, Jewish men, they wear, like, that, I don't know what it's called, but they have, like, a little... yarmulke. It's what?
I think it's called a yarmulke. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Yeah, they wear something that's similar to, like, a kufi, so I feel like it could be, like, a Muslim man would be... might be considered Jewish because of the kufi and the Jewish cap. So I feel like that's a less thing that draws more attention in a negative way compared to hijab.
Right, like, people, they don't really know that I'm Muslim unless I tell them, because, you know, there's not really any signs of me, and you can't, like, make assumptions just based on the way I look, right? Yeah. So I do acknowledge that I probably don't get as much, you know, like, Islamophobic comments as I would if I were to have, like, a hijab on my head, right?
Yeah. Rena, do you want to share anything? Because you're kind of, like, the hijabi perspective in this episode, so...
Oh, okay. I feel like at my school, maybe I don't hear anything around me or anything, but my friends and everyone around me in the class, they treat me the same. But I feel like when people wear hijabs and just, like, a small thing that shows a religion, people just have this huge stereotype that comes up. And it's not even that big. They're just trying to express their religion and everything. And maybe they have a religion too, and they may not be showing it, but we are showing it, and we're trying to spread our religion. So,
yeah. One thing.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. You go ahead.
You go ahead. You go ahead first. It's fine.
Okay. It reminds me of a story. My grandmother. Well, she's not necessarily, like, my biological grandmother, but I refer to her as such. And she was traveling back to Bangladesh, which is our home country, and she really wanted to wear her niqab, right? But her husband was like, no, you shouldn't, because there's going to be people staring at us, there's going to be people assuming things about us, I don't want people thinking you're a terrorist. And I thought that was really sad that she, like, you know, she wanted to be modest, she wanted to, like, follow, like wear what she felt comfortable in, but she couldn't, like, and I think that's, like, ridiculous. And it reminds me of, you know, like, when people go to the beach in like their like conservative swimsuits or like the burkini, as you said, and they're like looked down upon, which is makes no sense to me.
This is kind of related to that, but I remember a few years ago, my brother, maybe this is like one or two years ago, I'm not exactly sure about the timeline, but my brother was playing a video game and it involved like shooting, like most video games do. And I remember he was talking to my dad about it in the car, and my dad was like, hey, you can't talk about this in public because someone might think you're talking about bombs. And I was just thinking, oh my God, my dad seriously said that to like my 7-year-old brother. Like, he's 7. He's like an innocent little kid, and he had to have a little bit of like that conversation. Like, I was just like, alhamdulillah, it's not worse, but I get where like my dad was from. Like, he was scared that like, oh no, my brother could like he could get himself in trouble just by talking about a video game. And I was just thinking, like, this is what, like, I just felt, I remember feeling so bad for my brother, because I was like, oh my God,
this is so sad. The world is literally affecting even little kids and not just older people. Continue on with that story. We don't want to end on a bad note. So I found this really inspiring quote, and it's this: Black doesn't mean dangerous. White doesn't mean trash. Brown doesn't mean smuggler. Muslim doesn't mean terrorist. Woman doesn't mean weak. And LGBTQ doesn't mean sick. These are the fundamentals that we must realize if we are to build a just and humane society.
That's an awesome quote. On that note, we hope that this conversation about Islamophobia was a thought-provoking one, and we hope you take some of these points to heart and stand up for those who are in trouble.
Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. We hope our discussion on Islamophobia was a thought-provoking one. Be sure to tune in for our next episode, where we will be discussing identity crisis.